The Summa Theologiae is arguably the most important work of St. Thomas Aquinas, written in the latter half of the 13th century. As the name suggests, it's a summary or a compendium of all philosophical and theological learning regarding God and man. The three-part division of the Summa indicates this, as the first part generally deals with God, the second part, which is itself subdivided into two parts, regards man, and the third part regards the God-man, that is, Christ. I will be presenting only select articles from the Summa, but I encourage the listener to read the work in its entirety if possible. The manner in which I'll present each article is slightly different from the way St. Thomas wrote them. The order in which he presents each article is the following. He first presents the strongest arguments he can muster against the answer that he will give to the question. Then he begins his response using an authoritative text, usually from Scripture or from a philosopher or a church father. Then he proceeds to give a more lengthy and substantial response, and only after this does he respond to the objections given at the very beginning. For ease of listening, I'll present his explanation first, and then present each objection followed by its response. First part, Question 10, The Eternity of God. Article 1. Whether eternity is the simultaneously whole and perfect possession of interminable life. I answer that as we attain to the knowledge of simple things by way of compound things, so must we reach to the knowledge of eternity by means of time, which is nothing but the numbering of movement by before and after. For since succession occurs in every movement, and one part comes after another, the fact that we reckon before and after in movement makes us apprehend time, which is nothing else but the measure of before and after in movement. Now in a thing bereft of movement, which is always the same, there is no before or after. As therefore the idea of time consists in the numbering of before and after in movement, so likewise, in the apprehension of the uniformity of what is outside of movement, consists the idea of eternity. Further, those things are said to be measured by time which have a beginning and an end in time, because in everything which is moved there is a beginning and there is an end. But as whatever is wholly immutable can have no succession, so it has no beginning and no end. Thus eternity is known from two sources. First, because what is eternal is interminable, that is, has no beginning nor end. Secondly, because eternity has no succession, being simultaneously whole. First objection. It seems that the definition of eternity given by Boethius is not a good one, that is, quote, the simultaneously whole and perfect possession of interminable life. For the word interminable is a negative one, but negation only belongs to what is defective, and this does not belong to eternity. Therefore, in the definition of eternity, the word interminable ought not to be found. Reply to the first objection. Simple things are usually defined by way of negation, as a point is that which has no parts. Yet this is not to be taken as if the negation belonged to their essence, but because our intellect which first apprehends compound things cannot attain to the knowledge of simple things except by removing the opposite. Second objection. Eternity signifies a certain kind of duration, but duration regards existence rather than life. Therefore the word life ought not to come into the definition of eternity, but rather the word existence. Reply to the second objection. What is truly eternal is not only being, but also living, and life extends to operation, which is not true of being. Now the protraction of duration seems to belong to operation rather than to being, hence time is the numbering of movement. Third objection. A whole is what has parts, but this is alien to eternity, which is simple. Therefore the definition improperly contains the word whole. Reply to the third objection. Eternity is called whole, not because it has parts, but because it is wanting in nothing. Fourth objection. Many days cannot occur together, nor can many times exist all at once. But in eternity, days and times are in the plural, for it is said in Micah 5:2, His going forth is from the beginning, from the days of eternity. And also in Romans 16:25, according to the revelation of the mystery hidden from eternity. Therefore, eternity is not all simultaneous. Reply to the fourth objection. As God, though incorporeal, is named in Scripture metaphorically by corporeal names, so eternity, though simultaneously whole, is called by names implying time and succession. Fifth objection. The whole and the perfect are the same thing. Supposing, therefore, that eternity is a whole possession of interminable life, it is superfluous to describe it as perfect as well. Reply to the fifth objection. Two things are to be considered in time, time itself which is successive, and the now of time which is imperfect. Hence the expression simultaneously whole is used to remove the idea of time, and the word perfect is used to exclude the now of time. Sixth objection. Duration does not imply possession, but eternity is a kind of duration. Therefore, eternity is not a possession. Reply to the sixth objection. Whatever is possessed is held firmly and quietly. Therefore, to designate the immutability and permanence of eternity, we use the word possession. Article 2. Whether God is eternal. St. Athanasius says in his creed, the Father is eternal, the Son is eternal, the Holy Ghost is eternal. The idea of eternity follows immutability, as the idea of time follows movement, as appears from the previous article. Hence, as God is supremely immutable, it supremely belongs to him to be eternal. Nor is he eternal only, but he is his own eternity, whereas no other being is its own duration, as no other is its own being. Now God is his own uniform being, and hence as he is his own essence, so he is his own eternity. First objection. It seems that God is not eternal, for nothing made can be predicated of God, for Boethius says, the now that flows away makes time, the now that stands still makes eternity, and St. Augustine says that God is the author of eternity, therefore God is not eternal. Reply to the first objection. The now that stands still is said to make eternity according to our apprehension. As the apprehension of time is caused in us by the fact that we apprehend the flow of the now, so the apprehension of eternity is caused in us by our apprehending the now standing still. When Augustine says that God is the author of eternity, this is to be understood of participated eternity. For God communicates his eternity to some in the same way as he communicates his immutability. Second objection. What is before eternity and after eternity is not measured by eternity. But as Aristotle says, God is before eternity and he is after eternity. For it is written in Exodus that the Lord shall reign for eternity and beyond. Therefore, to be eternal does not belong to God. Reply to the second objection. God is said to be before eternity according as it is shared by immaterial substances. Hence, also in the same book, it is said that intelligence is equal to eternity. In the words of Exodus, the Lord shall reign for eternity and beyond, eternity stands for age, as another translation has it. Thus it is said that the Lord will reign beyond eternity inasmuch as he endures beyond every age, that is, beyond every kind of duration. For age is nothing more than the period of each thing, as is said in the book On the Heavens. Or to reign beyond eternity can be taken to mean that if any other thing were conceived to exist forever, as the movement of the heavens according to some philosophers, then God would still reign beyond, inasmuch as his reign is simultaneously whole. Third objection. Eternity is a kind of measure, but to be measured belongs not to God. Therefore, it does not belong to him to be eternal. Reply to the third objection. Eternity is nothing else but God himself. Hence, God is not called eternal as if he were in any way measured, but the idea of measurement is there taken according to the apprehension of our minds alone. Fourth objection. In eternity, there is no present, past, or future, since it is simultaneously whole, as was said in the preceding article. But words denoting present, past, and future time are applied to God in Scripture. Therefore, God is not eternal. Reply to the fourth objection. Words denoting different times are applied to God because his eternity includes all times, not as if he himself were altered through present, past, and future. Thank you.